This is the M Zone.
And welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt the Hitman Mizler, and you got Mr. Unlimited. Boom, boom, Matty Leach. I'll tell you what, technology is there. Technology, you know what? This will be the most technical savvy game in Super Bowl history. Number 57. Did you know that? Did you know this game is going to be, it's going to be analyzed up, down, around. When they take a step on the turf, they can tell you how fast you're moving at that time, which is pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. But that, why am I talking about that? I just find it kind of crazy that, you know, we're so, I mean, we're not talking about the teams. We're talking about the things that they can do at the Super Bowl, the things that they can tell you about the players at the Super Bowl. And I just tell me about the players. Tell me who you think this, I guess we're overemphasizing the player of the players. I guess we just sit here and we want to know all the other good stuff. You know what I'm saying? How fast Patrick Mahomes can throw the ball. I'm like, who cares? As long as he can get it there. That's all I care about. You know,
you're a former player, Jamie. You understand the team aspect of the game as we continue to move forward through all of sports. But, you know, you watch football in particular. It's becoming more of an individualized game. People care, you know, I would say American fans have always been fans of stars and individuals more so than teams.
Sure,
but now more so than ever, with fantasy football being as big as it is and all of the different things, people cheer for individuals rather than teams.
Is there a fantasy team or a fantasy thing that's going to be on the Super Bowl? Do you do fantasy anything on Super Bowl Saturday? I mean, Sunday. Can you pick a player? Can you pick a team? I mean, do you win something? I know everybody can do squares. I get the square thing.
Right.
But what happens with the fantasy with the fantasy thing when it comes to the Super Bowl?
There are some websites that will do, like, you know, create the best fantasy lineup, like offensive lineup, so to speak. Like, you know, that, you know, you pick a quarterback. It's almost like what they call like an auction draft, so to speak. Like, you pay the certain amount or whatever for that person or that player, so to speak, and kind of get them lined up. And if you end up getting like the most points out of that matchup or whatnot, you get a payout to of whatever degree it is. But I've never gone down that rabbit hole. Most of like the Super Bowl stuff in terms of like the gambling stuff have always been like the in-game and prop bets have gone along with it.
You're a side bet guy. You're that prop bet guy.
Well, that's
what we're doing Sunday.
Another way that it's made individualized. But yeah, prop bets, and then you can make so many bets on individuals throughout the game, the number of catches, the yards, the number of passes, you know, so much you can bet on, and not even just having to do with the individual players for teams. You know, we go through all of the fun ones on the Sunday morning playground the day before, and maybe we'll do it some here at on the M Zone throughout the week. But you can make a prop bet about anything. But yeah, a lot of them come down to players. It's a combination of catches and touchdowns or rushing yards and touchdowns. And so another way that it's become more individualized, but yeah, that's always been part of this Super Bowl week. Is, I mean, you always get those weird questions. There's like those one or two that are really off the cuff that you're just like, why in the world do you have an opportunity to ask somebody a question in the Super Bowl and you're asking them about their favorite childhood snack or whatever random stuff that they come up with. But this has always been a time to get to know these players on a little bit more of a personal level, or get to know individuals on a team, because it is such a big media frenzy. But in the world that we live in today, yeah, even more so. We're, you know, we've got our social medias, which are basically self-promotion, promoting ourselves and everything that we do. And, you know, it's just much more of an individualized society. And I would say certainly in our sports today, we know everything about these stars. And if not, we want to know even more about them.
Yeah, I guess so. I look, for me, I just want to know who the starting quarterback is and who his wide receivers are. I don't even care about the running backs anymore. Can you believe that? I mean, really? They don't run the ball like they used to. I mean, you wanted to know who the running back was. Did he have 1,000 yards? But really, the Chiefs just brought a guy off of IR, Clyde Azalea, what's his name? Yeah, he's playing in the game. Mm-hmm. They put in a wide receiver that played 2 weeks ago. He's on IR now. So, I mean, they're making movements all the time. And I guess, you know, maybe the Chiefs are going to run the ball a little bit more. Maybe. I don't know. It makes it three running backs. So, I guess, I mean, you need to help Patrick Mahomes out, right? So, I mean, maybe that's Patrick Mahomes. But when I look at a Super Bowl like that, and when I don't analyze until Thursday, really. That's me. I don't analyze until they give me the paper who's playing and who's not playing. And they probably won't know full roster until Saturday. Really? If you think about it.
In terms of that full and final depth chart about who's, you know, probable for the game, all those different things, who's dealing with what injury, you're probably right. But yeah, no, there's going to be a lot of storylines. You know, again, I can't remember, and maybe Miz would know, the last time that we had both one seeds in the Super Bowl, where, again, there's a lot to talk about with this game. And you can go through, you know, both of them have pretty good rushing attacks. Philly, and a lot to do with Hurst and him being so effective at the quarterback position running the ball. KC has made, I think, a concerted effort once they lost Cheetah, maybe trying to protect Mahomes a little bit more, but their running game has been a big part of their success here this year. But you're right, Jamie. It is crazy where how many Super Bowls were won off the shoulders or off the back of a great running back. You talk about how John Elway wasn't that good of a quarterback until Terrell Davis came by.
No.
You're right. Especially at the quarterback position, you're measured by winning. Measured by Super Bowls. Super Bowls. And he would not be – he would probably – because if he never won one, I still think Marino would be considered the greatest to never win one. I don't think it would be Elway. Maybe I could be wrong.
Marino is the greatest quarterback that didn't win a Super Bowl. But you don't hear about Dan Marino anymore. It's like he's – I think he's got a statue in front of the stadium down there. I saw it at the Formula One race, but I mean, he's got a statue in front of the stadium. Outside of that, who talks about Dan Marino anymore? I mean, who says anything about Dan Marino? I mean, the only question when you have who's the team, the one team that beat the Chicago Bears in 1985, it was Dan Marino's Miami Dolphins. And that was the night they were celebrating the 1972 undefeated Miami Dolphins. And that was the night Dan Marino went down the field. He had incredible passing and everything like that. And they beat those Bears to their own game because they were trying to get to Marino, trying to sack him, and they had quick releases and different things like that. But what I'm saying to you is look, Dan Marino – woo, he was a good one, but he wasn't. I mean, I guess he is the guy that he's the greatest quarterback that hasn't won a Super Bowl. Yep. Can you name me another one that hasn't won a Super Bowl that you thought was a great quarterback outside of him? I'm not going to say Boomer Esiason. Anybody says Boomer Esiason, I would laugh at you.
Boomer Esiason. I honestly no. I think I think Dan Marino is probably up there. I don't know. I mean, I guess you maybe even look at, for those in upstate New York, maybe a lot of them may look at Jim Kelly to a certain degree as well too.
Yes, yep. I'll go with that. Jim Kelly was part of that class. He was part of that class.
Yeah. I can't remember.
I think of the other great ones in our time, Miz, but Randall Cunningham. Had that really, again, I thought he was going to win with one of those with those Vikings teams. I don't really, I don't remember him as the Philly quarterback.
You're gonna get a lot of hate from Philly E.
I know, but hey, listen, you thought both him and why am I blanking? Who's the guy who came afterward? Culpepper. You thought both those guys had a chance to win it, and it's, I think it's more because those Minnesota teams were so good with Randy Moss and Chris Carter and Robert Smith.
I mean, look at what they had. They had Carter. They had Moss. They had a tight end. They even had a good defense, dude. Come on, they had a good defense too.
They had a kicker and everything too. Didn't miss a field goal all season.
Gary Anderson. God, Philly. He went to Syracuse. Philly's really Gary Anderson. Philly. He played with my brother Joe. I remember Gary Anderson, great kicker. Yeah. He just couldn't get it done.
Nope.
I mean, you can kind of go maybe to a degree. The late Steve McNair. I mean, he had that Titans team was really good that year, and they came up a yard and a half short of why am I blanking on his name? Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner, a no name quarterback. A no name. A guy who was putting groceries in
groceries.
Yeah. He was just bagging groceries at the supermarket 12 months ago. And then he's in the Super Bowl and he wins. He takes another man's team, Trent Green.
Trent Green, yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I
the greatest show on turf.
Right. Here's one for you. Here's a quarterback for you. He's not that great. I said Danny White yesterday. I said Danny White, the Super Bowl, the guy who followed Roger Staubach, because they lost Staubach, but they had all the fixings around them, and they just couldn't get through. They couldn't crash the gate. So he never got there. I'm just saying, there are quarterbacks out there.
One that was consistently good for a long time that I don't know if you guys will give me this. Phillip Rivers. I mean, there was some really good San Diego teams. And then there was ones that didn't come on until later. But he's a guy that played for a long time and was always good. Not great, but a guy that, I could have seen one of those. I mean, those Chargers teams were – some of them were really good, but then there was some weird stuff that would go on there where, again, they had a year where they had the number one offense, the number one defense, and didn't make the playoffs. Like, how does that happen?
It's kind of like a year when the time is right. It's almost got, we kind of talked about it towards the end of the football season, how, if the Lions didn't squander that game with Carolina, they could have been the hottest team going into the playoffs. They could have done something they haven't done in 50 years, and that's win a playoff game. So, or in 30 years, I should say, it feel like 50 years, but they could have. I mean, they were the one of the hottest teams in the NFL to possibly do that. Also, just looking at the stats, Matt, Super Bowl 52, the last time two number one seeds faced off in the championship, nice. Philly and New England up at the Glass Dome. Up in Minneapolis.
Just too soon to say. Do you think they're going to run the Philly special?
No, I don't think so. I think that was just something that was in the bag of tricks that what's his name, the now coach of the Jaguars had and Dougie Fresh had. Sirianni, he might have maybe a trick or two up his sleeve, but in terms of like the real,
why is there so much hate for Nick Sirianni? Why is there so much hate for that man?
That's a good.
No one wants to give him credit. Everybody says he had a great team. He had a Pro Bowl. He had a Super Bowl ready team. Why is that man not getting any credit? I mean, when he was named coach, he got criticized for being named coach. Well, doesn't deserve to be the head coach. But look, he's getting it. He's getting it done.
Well, Philadelphia also likes to throw snowballs with rocks to Santa Claus. So, I mean, that yes, just tells
yes,
you.
They tend to do that.
So, I mean, if it's coming from a Philly fan base, I'm like, okay, listen, I get that. I understand that. You guys boo if someone just, looks at someone and side-eyed the wrong way or something like that. But nationally, I mean, I haven't heard any, negative things about Sirianni. Honestly, I think he, just in these past two seasons, winning the division this year, top seed the NFC. Didn't he make it close last year with the Eagles as well too? Had a great season last year.
They got beat by the Buccaneers. They got beat by the Buccaneers.
Right.
But
back to back seasons where first 2 years for a head coach and you make it to the playoffs in one of the toughest divisions in football, where you have got the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Giants came out of nowhere this year as well too. Had the Washington football team, you know, not falling apart. You could have had the entire division representing in the NFL and the NFC playoffs. That's just how good that division was this year. But I don't know, you know, if there is hate for Sirianni, I don't get it. But then again, there's a lot I don't get. Doesn't make sense. Make it make sense.
That's a fan base. I don't know if the Super Bowl healed them enough, but I feel like they're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. So I agree with you, Miz. But also, I remember I saw some weird stuff on the East Coast of them either not thinking that they were getting enough for some of those big name players or coaches, or, you know, just when they would turn on a player or a coach, where I'm sitting there thinking, like, what in the world is going on? And again, I go back to Granderson when he was playing for the Yankees, had a almost MVP caliber season, but was struggling in the playoffs and getting booed at Yankee Stadium when our Detroit Tigers were giving it to him. But, you know, again, that's the East Coast. It is a tougher fan base. You hear about these big cities of Philly, New York, Boston, you know, how tough it is to play out there. So, yeah, that's one that leaves everybody scratching their head. Because like you said, what more can you really ask for? Did anybody else outside the city of Philly have them in a Super Bowl here this year when he was hired? I don't think so.
I mean, if it wasn't for Brock Purdy going down with an injury as well, too, you probably would have looked at a very close, you know, game in Philadelphia for that NFC Championship game. If he didn't go down, you could have looked at maybe San Francisco, you know, playing Kansas City. You could have had that rematch from February of 2020. I mean, anything's possible.
You're right. I did say when Brock Purdy got hurt, I said the game was over.
Mm-hmm.
But the backup came in and threw some good passes, but then he got a concussion, got into protocol. So
no, he had the
all
he got
Purdy
the,
could do was he, hand off.
He had
That's
the,
all
he,
could
he
do.
Got the same injury that Purdy got. He had that almost like a Tommy John hurt injury or whatever it was. Like, yep. Man, you of all the luck in the world, the two quarterbacks you had go down with the same injury, then you got to throw in, you know, Christian McCaffrey to be a wildcat quarterback, so to speak. Like, of all the things that happened.
I thought that they were just going to let him just run it every time, just go wildcat with him full mm-hmm. force. I mean, they pretty much were, because you knew that they were going to hand off. They tried some trickeration with Debo and some crazy plays. Some of them worked out. Most of them didn't. But, yeah, that was a tough spot to be in. And like we talked about, likely we'll see a rule change where we think that they'll allow you to add another quarterback here next year. We'll see. But
that's too much money. You look, there's a lot of people. You don't think that these two teams were well evenly matched. They were matched evenly. And when Brock Purdy got hurt, not that you don't expect that. And you don't have a backup. You don't have a backup to the backup. That's the problem.
Right.
You got to have a third backup, but he only can play if the first stringer can't come, the starter can't come back to the game. That's when he can play. And you got to identify that person probably the day before the game. And that's how it should be. They should have a guy that's on your practice squad. That, you know, he's going to travel with the team. He's that third quarterback that gives you the competitive – that doesn't make you not have a competitive advantage. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I love Christian McCaffrey. He's a good player and everything like that. No quarterback he is. He's not his brother. I'm sorry. And it's just not fair. That's just not fair. So, I mean, look, you can do all the things you want, but when you lose your two quarterbacks – you got problems. You got real problems. Now, some people said, hey, why not have a wide receiver as a taxi quarterback? I mean, he can play full-time wide receiver, but some teams did do that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of teams did that in the past. They made a wide receiver. Hey, didn't Cordell Stewart started out as a wide receiver started out as a wide receiver, but they allowed him to play quarterback every now and then. He ran the ball and different. Then he became a starter under Bill Cowher. He became a he was a Pro Bowler under Bill Cowher. So I mean, it things could get. I mean, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers. What was the wide receiver's name? The real tough wide receiver from Georgia. What was his name?
Oh, from Georgia.
You know what I'm talking about. Huh? Hines Ward. He was a quarterback in Georgia. When he got to the Steelers, he became a wide receiver, but he was their third string quarterback.
I was thinking
there were a few other guys. Julian Edelman. Yeah, you know, there was a number of guys who played quarterback.
That's
in college
what I'm saying.
That
so you,
that,
you,
hey,
you,
our guy Devin Gardner was a wide receiver with the Steelers for a little while.
Right.
I mean,
so
I was
you
looking
can do
at,
that.
At first, I thought you were talking about Antoine Randall-El, Indiana University.
No, that's another one though, Miz. I was, but I've seen. Yeah. I saw Hines Ward play quarterback.
Yeah.
When I forgot the guy that got hurt, but Neil O'Donnell. O'Donnell got hurt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they put Hines Ward at behind the center. I'm like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I could think that you know, in that case is kind of like what the NHL does, where they have an emergency backup goalie. If your starter and your backup go down, it doesn't matter what side of the bench it is. Right. If it's a road or home team, you just call up the emergency guy, and it's usually just some guy that plays beer league pickup hockey.
Who's Zamboni in the ice?
Who drives a Zamboni for the minor league team just up the block?
Serving beers in the stand right now. Bring them down. Let's go.
I mean, hey, club hockey guys, don't know what's
Didn't
up.
That really happen?
That was,
that
yeah.
Really happened,
that
right?
happened with, yeah, the Toronto Toronto Maple Leafs. That he had to come out and save I can't remember what team it was. I think it was the Hurricanes. He filled in for the Hurricanes, and they won because of him. They came from behind, and he won the game for them. And what did he do the next day? Went right back to the rink and zammed the ice afterwards.
Oh, that was great. Right back to work, baby.
We got to go to a break. We got Zach Shaw on the other side.
Give me what I want!
You're listening to the M Zone. It's coming, bro. You're listening to the M Zone, the premier show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.